Welcome to episode 15 of the Dean's Podcast, the podcast about issues shaping graduate studies in Canada. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Carolyn Waters, and I'm the Dean of Graduate Studies at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and past president of CAGS, the Canadian Association of Graduate Studies. Every month, you can listen in as I talk to other deans, faculty, postdocs, and graduate students about where graduate studies is going in Canada. This episode is the conclusion of a two-part series on why an academic would want to become an administrator. Last month, I spoke to Jack Duffy, who began his administrative career reluctantly and somewhat late, but grew to a state of near enthusiasm. In this episode, I talk with Doug Pierce, the Associate Vice President Graduate and Dean of Graduate Studies at York University. So listen in as he describes why academics should take an active role in university governance. While his opinion of working in administration is quite different from Jack's, his advice to young faculty is also very interesting. Okay, it's Carolyn Waters, and I'm in Ottawa today with Doug Pierce, who's the Associate Vice President at York and the Dean of Graduate Studies. And we're going to talk again with a different perspective on why an academic would want to be an administrator and what kind of best advice we might give on that. So welcome, Doug.
Thank you.
And so I'll just start out here. Why would a successful academic want to be an administrator?
There are days when I ask myself that question. I think probably the ultimate, I think the answer being two ways. First of all, a sense that in order for universities to function well, academics have to play an active role in their governance. Beyond that, I also feel at times, sometimes more strongly than others, that a lot of what we do as administrators actually has an academic dimension to it. We are trained to be critical, to evaluate. A lot of those same skills are important when you're an administrator, and you can actually find intellectual challenge in some of the tasks in front of us.
So why did you become an administrator? You could have been happy just being a historian.
Well, I was happy as a historian. I think it was a combination of coincidence, serendipity, and, as my wife would argue, an inability on my part to say no. I was hired at a time when there was a lot of turnover, like a lot of people. There were a lot of tasks within departments and universities that needed addressing. I found myself being drawn into some of them because of my own interests. And once you start doing it and start discovering the areas you like, you tend to keep doing it.
So just for the audience, do you want to just map out the path you took?
I started doing a lot of the local departmental committees.
In what department?
Oh, sorry, Department of History. But with that went some other committees, Library Committee. I found myself on the Appeals Committee. Somehow managed to stay on that committee, I think, for 9 years.
You like punishment?
Appeals Committee is one of the most rewarding in some ways because it's one of those few committees where, with rare exception, at the end of each meeting, you've actually made a decision that affects somebody's life. There are some committees which will go on forever. But probably my big move, and it's one I didn't even appreciate until, you know, I see it now in hindsight, was when I was asked to serve on a national adjudication committee, to serve on one of their adjudication committees. And I discovered not only was that I find the work on the committee fascinating, it was a lot of work, death by binder, reading binders of applications, but I found just looking at the process of peer review began to interest me in ways that I hadn't thought of, and so I've always maintained kind of a side interest in how academics act and think, and are there ways in which we can improve peer review processes and that. And so I spent, you know, a better part of 10 years doing various activities with the Social Science Humanities Research Council, and from there into other granting groups.
Now, if I recall, at some point you came to Ottawa, you were seconded to Shirk?
I spent 9 months as a secondment in what was then, in effect, a civil service position, a full-time job at Shirk. It was a wonderful time, very, very, I really enjoyed it. In the end, I wouldn't say that I was sad to give it up. I was happy to go back to university because I'm still actively teaching and researching in that. But it was some of the most fascinating times I spent.
So when did you make the switch from mainly professor and researcher into mainly administrator?
Probably somewhere around maybe 6-7 years ago, when I've been taking on more and more departmental roles and juggling more university committees, but probably it was when I became an associate dean. And I actually was served simultaneously in three different associate dean portfolios. And that's probably where, as my colleague would say, I really did slide into the dark side.
I think that's what Jack said.
Yeah.
As well. And
yeah.
You don't even know Jack.
Yeah.
So anyway, so now let's talk a little bit about what I call the good, bad, and the ugly of being an administrator. You know, what do you really like about it? What really is the downside, the dark side to it? And then we'll move on.
The definite upside is when at the end of the day, somebody's research activities or learning activities or their experience at the university is made better, and you figure you've actually had a role in that. I would add to that, the good side is when I find myself engaging as an intellectual question, long-term planning, trying to figure out, for example, how best to position Canadian graduate schools looking 10, 15 years down the road, sort of using the same skills that I would use in analyzing a purely academic question. That's the good side.
What about, I'm going to help you out on this answer, what about this increasing role of graduate schools in the international market?
Well, that again, I think is fascinating from a purely academic perspective. You and I were both on the same trip to India, and I subsequently was in Saudi Arabia. I'm off to Germany pretty soon, and you know, on the one hand, it's realizing just how far behind Canada is. You know, we talk the international language, but it's an international language from the 1960s, which frankly is rather patronizing. We need to know how to engage better, engage more creatively, and to think that the way we do things isn't always necessarily the best. At the same time, there's fascinating opportunities out there, great opportunities for interaction, and for those scholars, students who are working in collaborative research environments, an even more enriched collaborative environment.
So Doug has actually taken the big step of not only being dean at his own university, but the heavy mantle of being president of CAG. So, you know, what way do you think that will enrich your career, or is this a community action?
Well, you're supposed to tell me that because you just finished being president.
I'm not giving away any
secrets. I enjoy it because I enjoy the national dialogue. One of the things about being an administrator, I think one of the enjoyable aspects is working with people who are pretty well driven for the same reasons. A real sense of camaraderie. Dean's meetings are always enjoyable. We get to, you know, sort of commiserate with one another, but we can also share best practices. The kind of intense competitiveness between institutions tends to be left at the door as we work together on common problems. And again, people become deans, probably with rare exception, or associate deans, whatever. Usually it's with the best of intentions. And it's a great opportunity to work with people who are coming to it for the same reason.
Okay, that's the good side. How about the dark side?
Dark side, especially with the introduction of BlackBerries and that, is that you're never off the job.
Except for me, I just lost my iPhone.
Lost your iPhone. And if my assistant's listening, she's probably encouraged me to lose my BlackBerry. It's a 24/7 world now. People are looking to solve problems, and the problems get more complex. The kind of skill sets that you have to either learn or find really good people. And the most important thing in being, I think, an administrator nowadays is being able to choose really good people to work with you, because that's going to save your butt. You know, intellectual property, much more complicated area than it was 10, 15 years ago. You've got questions of ethics. You've got new rules on accessibility, etc. So there's a growing mountain of skills and of knowledge that you need either to master or find people who can support you with. It's also challenging in a time of volatile funding. Coming from Alberta, where you know I got used to boom bust, gave me a little bit of buffeting, but we're still in a situation where you're being pressured to do more, and oftentimes there's less to do it with.
So what about your research profile? Have you been able to manage your time and interest so that you can keep that up, or has that been sort of roadkill in the administrative way?
Not roadkill, and I would say it's definitely not on life support, but you do have to sacrifice a little bit. I've tended to shift my focus, tending to write more essays these days rather than thinking of a big book which I've got to try and pull together. I'm doing a lot more essays. The one advice I'd give anybody is, if you really are going to embark or you're drawn into an academic career or an administrative career, make sure certain that you've got your research well underway, you've got a stockpile of material to work from, or you've got a lab that you can oversee and juggle with your life. I think some people have made the mistake of jumping into administration too early in their career cycle. And, you know, it's, you know, depending upon the institution and where you stand, you really want to have a really firm foundation, because once you go into a, whether it's an associate dean or a chair or a dean, you're going to find that something has to give.
Well, that's great. We segue right into best practices for some young faculty members. So give me your top three pieces of advice.
Get your family life and your academic life prioritized. Figure out what's going to work well, because you're going to have to juggle it. If you are in an academic administrative role, you aren't going to have 4 months off every summer, for example. There will be functions you will have to attend in the evening. Your family's going to have to look at that. If you've got a very young family, think about whether you can juggle it. Talk to people. Talk to people who are in the roles. What did it mean for them? Try and speak to somebody who's in, if they're not in the exact job you're thinking about, one very, very similar. Don't rely simply upon somebody who's doing administration somewhere else on campus.
So what about the idea of waiting until after you have, you're a full professor and fully tenured before moving into this? Does that matter?
I don't think I necessarily wait to become full professor, though I might urge somebody who is thinking of taking on a deanship. I think that you may want to wait till you're a full professor for that. But I would think you'd want to be comfortably established as an associate professor before you take on, say, half administrative duties, like an associate dean in that. So that, you know, whatever you need to do to make the next step of promotion, and this is going to vary by discipline, that you can accommodate that with the increasing demands that are placed on you as an associate dean or a chair or whatever.
Okay, so let's just roll back the clock here and pretend that we're assistant professors and we've got a little glimmer that maybe we want to be a chair or something. What would be things that a younger professor could do to kind of set it up so that they would have the skills and the things on their CV to let them take a run at a job like a chair?
Demonstrate to your colleagues, because your colleagues are going to have an important role first in selecting you, so don't piss them off. But also, you're going to need them, because even if you're a chair or an associate dean, whatever, you need to be able to, you're going to require their support. So make sure you work well with them. Demonstrate a willingness to take on committees. Don't be too selective and picky about committees.
Does that mean picking strategically or picking ones that are easy?
I think what you want to do is try and get the breadth. Most university academic units, you've got undergraduate and graduate. Get involved with both kinds of committees. It's a different level of decision making.
What about at the Senate level, the university level? Is that worthwhile?
Part of it will depend upon your university. In some universities, senates are almost a rubber stamping organization. It may symbolically be useful. It'll give you a network, perhaps. I always tended to go for more sleeves rolled up working committees. I know it can be very, very boring, and it often is, but curriculum committees.
Oh, yikes, that is boring.
Yeah, curriculum / calendar committees. They are horrible at times. They attract everybody out of the woodwork who will debate the merits of a colon versus a semicolon. But at the end of the day, universities are so driven by the calendar that an appreciation of how that calendar functions and how course curriculum has to be laid out is critical, and that will save you a lot. You may not want to spend a lot of time on it, but it is, I think, one of the best experiences. That and appeals committees, because then you start to realize, you know, how even with the best of intentions, things go really bad. And usually the worst appeals are when somebody tries to do something as a favor, but then, you know, things spiral out of control and it hits the appeals committee. So those are two I find particularly useful.
I find the appeals committee also makes you really shift your focus to the student's point of view.
Yeah.
Because often we get so tied up in the regulations and the program and the curriculum that we forget that this is just an individual who maybe got caught in the middle of it. Not always, mind you, but sometimes. So what about the notion, I think Jack brought up about, you know, volunteering at some point to be chair of a committee so you had some experience. Did you do that, or you think it's better just to be on a variety of committees?
I never volunteered, but I ended up being chair a number of occasions. If I asked, I would volunteer. I think sometimes one has to be a little careful. You know, we are Canadians, after all. If you show too much enthusiasm, people may wonder. I often relied upon the judgment of others to sort of suggest to me whether they thought I was right for it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think it was done to shut me up. And you may want, you know, if you got to know a committee or you're really interested in an area, getting to know whoever the authority is over that, having a chat with them. If there's somebody who you look upon as some kind of mentor, for example, either in a formal or informal sense, you might want to sit down with them in your career and say, I really quite like this. What do you think? I know I've met with, I didn't actually approach anybody. I was approached by a number of faculty members who've indicated to me over the last couple of years that there are aspects of administration they'd like, and mm-hmm. I sat down and I talked with them, and, you know, depended upon, sometimes they had quite specific interests. It might have been research, some of it might have been curriculum. They were at different stages of their career, but, you know, we talked and I tried giving them some positive feedback. In some cases, I've written letters of support for them. Other cases, I've tried to bring them in some committees I oversee, just to give them a taste, because in some cases, you never know until you've been on one of these committees whether it's really up for you.
Yeah, I have that happen too, but sometimes it's what I call a refugee syndrome. Someone's looking for a way to get out of a situation in their own faculty that they'd like to get themselves out of, and so I think that's great advice. Put them on a committee at some other level, and then they might decide that it's not the administration they want, it's some resolution for some other problem. So do you have, I don't know if they do this at York, but do you have any advice for people for taking special courses? You know, sometimes they have those dean's workshops and Banff and places to actually take specific training to be an administrator, or is it better just to kind of roll up your sleeves, as you would say, and get on with it?
I did go to the Dean Camp, or Dean Boot Camp at Banff, as you mentioned. I found it useful in a variety of ways, and I think there are some very specialized courses. I was sent on one that dealt with collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. So there are some very, very focused ones you can go to. I would tend to leave a lot of those till later. I think a lot of it, you know, I don't want to sound, it's not just common sense, but a lot of what we do is in universities is are kind of unique customs and traditions within the university, which I think are better approached through observing others and through an apprenticeship model. I don't know whether you can teach it. Certainly I'm because I look upon academic administration as an academic subject in its own right, I subscribe to things like, I read the Chronicle of Higher Education every week, I subscribe to the Times Higher Educational Supplement, I'm on a number of news groups which sort of keep me alive to trends, I regularly buy books about higher educational admin, so I keep reading that, often not with an idea to using it to a particular problem I'm facing, but just to inform myself. So that I've always found particularly useful.
Okay, if I could sum this up, you really like being an administrator?
Usually.
Usually, okay. Yeah. So under what circumstances are you not so keen on being an administrator?
Those days when I'm just getting into my research and I get interrupted, I find I'm still trying to keep that balance between research, my research and writing, and being an administrator. I think it's understandable, but academe is an interesting environment. You know, we are multi-million dollar organizations with fiduciary responsibilities, and a culture which is based upon the notion of criticism and comment and critique, all of which are academically valid. And, you know, Stanley Fish has recently been talking about, I think, you know, oftentimes I think, maybe not necessarily unfairly, but I think without knowing the full facts, I think administrators tend to take a lot of the heat for things over which they've got no control over. And, you know, you do need to develop a thick skin. It can be very, very personalized.
That's the ugly, so we shouldn't end with the ugly. So give us your top three tips for an eager young faculty member.
Top three. You can have a lot of fun, you meet a lot of interesting people, and you find really quirky, fascinating examples of human life. If you want to write a campus novel, sit in administration, and you can get the best possible stories.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to leave it with that story. So thank you very much, Doug. Very interesting.
That's it for this episode. Thanks go to Dave Johnson of Nil Air Time in Ottawa for the sound production of both of these podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch with me about something you heard on this podcast or about an issue that you'd like to see covered, please email me at carolyn.waters@dell.ca or leave a comment on the podcast page at universityaffairs.ca. So until next time, I'm Carolyn Waters. Thanks for listening. Bye.